Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky full of stars.
Welcome to the AAA's first podcast for 2021. I hope you're able to take advantage of the cloud gaps to see the great conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. It was made more difficult because the window of opportunity between sunset and the planets being too low in the sky for effective observation was very short. The planets were at their closest on December the 21st, but unfortunately from my observing site, clouds ruled out any chance of a view. However, on the three preceding evenings, the view was perfect, even to show the two planets together in the same field of view, in a 90mm refractor operating at 100 times. A really memorable sight. As you all know, the 21st of December was also the shortest day. The days will now gradually lengthen until the spring equinox, when the day length will be the same the world over. The rate of change of daylight is slow at the moment. You won't notice much change, but the rate will gradually speed up until the equinox, when the weekly daylight change will be much more obvious. It is this rate of change of daylight that stimulates hibernating animals to wake up. The moon will be at last quarter on the 6th of January. It will be new on the 13th and will have reached first quarter on the 20th. Full moon will be on January the 28th. The highlight of this month's lunar activities occurs on the 9th of January, the 25th and 26th, when the moon passes in front of the open star cluster M35. M35 lies within the constellation of Gemini. The moon will begin to cover the outlying stars in the cluster around 10 p.m. and maximum cover will occur around midnight. The moon will have cleared the cluster by 2 a.m. Unfortunately, the moon will be near full, so its light will drown out the starlight at the point when each star disappears. Nevertheless, the event will be quite spectacular when viewed through binoculars, particularly if they are mounted on a tripod to eliminate muscular fatigue. Another lunar spectacle will occur around January the 15th, when the moon is a very thin crescent. This will be the best time to see Earth shine. If you were on the moon looking back at Earth, you would see that the Earth was nearly full. As the Earth is bigger than the moon, a full Earth would be much brighter than a full moon. The amount of light reflected from the Earth is enough to light up the moon so that, despite not being in direct sunlight, lunar surface features are visible to us. Using a small telescope, it will be interesting to see how many features you can identify using Earthshine. Moving on to the planets, Mercury puts on an evening show this month. It reaches greatest eastern elongation on the 24th of January, when it will be 18.6 degrees to the left of the Sun. At about 5 p.m, it will be at an altitude of about 9 degrees, and at an azimuth of about 233 degrees. It will have a magnitude of minus 0.5. Use a pair of binoculars to look for it around the 24th of January, but make certain that the sun has set before using any kind of optical instrument around the setting sun. Venus will still be visible during the first week of January in the dawn sky. After this, it will be too close to the sun to observe. Mars is visible in the constellation of Aries. It is now past its best as it moves further from us. During the month, it will shrink to show a disk of about 8 arc seconds and will dim to a magnitude of plus 0.4. Jupiter and Saturn remain close together. Saturn is in conjunction with the Sun on January the 24th and Jupiter follows on January the 29th. Uranus is to be found among the stars of Aries close to Mars. It shines at magnitude plus 5.7. A small telescope will show its blue-green disk and help to show that it is a planet and not a background star. Neptune is to be found among the stars of Aquarius, but is becoming lost in the glow of sunset. Comet Atlas is in our skies and is predicted to shine at a magnitude of +9 to +10. It will not be spectacular like last year's comet Neowise, but it is worth mentioning as it may prove relatively easy to find. It is due to pass close to Capella, the lead star in the constellation of Auriga. Between the 1st and 5th of January, it will pass to the right of Capella at a distance of between 0.5 and 1 degree. It will be a high in the sky, which means that the light from the comet will have a relatively small amount of atmosphere to pass through, making it easier to see. The predicted magnitudes, however, suggest that you will need an instrument more powerful than an ordinary pair of binoculars to see it. The annual meteor shower, the Quadrantids, peak on the night of 2nd and 3rd of January. Meteor spotting seems to be more popular of late as more details are being published in magazines. The Quadrantids are described as having a zenith hourly rate at maximum of 80+. This is an estimate of the number of meteors that a single observer might expect to see under ideal conditions at the peak of the shower. Ideal conditions require a dark site, the radiant to be overhead, i.e. at the zenith, and to be uncontaminated by moonlight. This year, the radiant will be quite high in the sky, but the shower will be contaminated by a waning gibbous moon. Also, the shower has a narrow peak. Most meteors are expected to arrive within a 6-hour window during the latter half of the night. Meteor showers are usually named after the constellation that contains the radiant. The Quadrantids are named after the obsolete constellation Quadrans Muralis, which now lies in the constellation Bootes. As a rough guide, the radiant lies a little to the left of the end of the handle of the plough. If you're going to meteor watch, wrap up warm and remember that meteors can appear in any part of the sky and can be tracked back to the radiant. It is therefore not appropriate to watch the radiant. Use your knowledge of the location of the radiant to determine whether or not the meteor you have just seen belongs to the Quadrantids. And that's all for this month. Happy New Year.